Welcome, friends, to April 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCrucifuoro. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because, you know how other countries tend to view Americans as boisterous, obnoxious, and overbearing? Well, guess what? I'm one of the worst ones. By the way, be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Let me know what your take is on today's show. Do you agree or disagree? Why or why not? So please get involved in the discussion. So thank you for that. And I'll begin today's show with the Pledge of Allegiance. So everybody stand up, face your flags, right hands on your hearts, and let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Cool. Now, on today's program,
the news of President Lincoln's assassination hits the headlines. Jackie Robinson plays ball with the Dodgers for the first time. And I'll talk about the unsinkable Molly Brown.
So with that, let's begin.
1865. Here are the headlines on the New York Times. Awful event. President Lincoln shot by an assassin. New York Herald. Important. Assassination of President Lincoln. The president shot at the theater last evening. Indeed, I covered the reasons why on yesterday's ep, so to continue where I left off. A couple of doctors from the theater assisted Lincoln throughout the night. The bullet was in the head, and this one would be mortal. Yet the president was still breathing, so rather than jostle him on a bumpy ride across town to the White House, he was rushed across the street to William Peterson's house. His pockets that contained his belongings included an embroidered handkerchief, Confederate and U.S. money, newspaper clippings, an ivory pocket knife, and a pair of now-busted gold-rimmed glasses. The police began their investigation. Actor James Wilkes Booth clearly shot Lincoln in front of a crowd at the theater, a co-conspirator attacked Secretary of State William Seward in bed, and Vice President Andrew Johnson's assassin couldn't go through with it. George Atzerodt, who lost his cool in trying to stab Johnson, kept bar hopping and getting drunk throughout the night, and spent the night in the Pennsylvania House Hotel, where he'd share a room with Police Lieutenant W.R. Keem, acting sad that the president was shot. Keem never suspected Atzerodt to be part of the plot. Atzerodt would continue to escape up to Maryland, hoping to avoid Booth, while at the same time, detectives broke into the room that Atzerodt was renting at the Kirkwood House and found a link to J.W. Booth, as well as a loaded revolver, a Bowie knife, and other evidence linking him with Booth. Meanwhile, down the street, at Secretary Seward's home, detectives and police were gathering information, hopefully to arrest everyone in the conspiracy within the next few days. One of his attackers, Lewis Powell, was currently holed up at a cemetery with a broken ankle after getting thrown off his horse. Booth and fellow writer David Herold were trying to get into Maryland for their escape, and Booth made their way into another conspirator who would bandage his leg since Booth broke it while jumping off the balcony at Ford's Theater onto the stage. That friend was Dr. Mudd, and he would go to prison as well as Samuel Arnold, Ned Spangler, and Michael O'Loughlin. When sentenced, four conspirators hanged: Powell, Herold, Atzerodt, and Mary Surratt, who harbored the fugitives. Now, as morning barely breaks, both Seward and Johnson were by now aware of Lincoln's condition, and wife Mary Todd wasn't allowed in her husband's room due to her hysterical bouts. At 0721, the president drew in his final breath. Secretary Stanton quietly said, "Now he belongs to the ages."
1947. Jackie Robinson plays his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers, thereby becoming the first African-American to play in the major leagues. He was signed on April 10th by Branch Rickey, president of the Dodgers, and the announcement was officially made on the 15th. As the first African-American to play in the major leagues, he was, as you can imagine, the target of vicious racial abuse. In his first season with the Dodgers, Jackie described how he played the best baseball he could despite the tons of racial abuse he endured, and the entire nation focused its attention on his game. Having established a reputation as a black man who never tolerated affronts to his dignity, he now found it in himself to resist the urge to strike back. In the ballpark, he answered the people he called haters with the perfect eloquence of a base hit. In 1949, his best year, Robinson was named the league's MVP, and in 1962, became the first African-American to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Upon his retirement, he continued to be an activist for civil rights. In fact, there's a letter that he sent to President Eisenhower he got to read. I'd read it, but I can't do it justice. The letter is in response to the president sending U.S. troops to enforce desegregation at Little Rock, Arkansas's Central High School. Google it. It's a great letter. And as important as it is to appreciate what Jackie has done for America, I think it's also important to give credit to Branch Rickey for breaking the all-white Major League Baseball's unwritten law. Truly a great day in American history. Moving on to 1912. Molly Brown becomes unsinkable. As legend has it in the Old West, Molly Brown was pretty obnoxious, so no doubt she and I would have been great friends. Her friends called her Maggie. She grew up poor in Hannibal, Missouri, and left when she was young with her brother to Leadville, Colorado. Once she was there, she got involved with a mining engineer named J.J. Brown, and shortly thereafter, they got married. He struck gold, and overnight, the Browns became millionaires and moved to Denver. According to our website, mollybrown.org, she was a progressive reformer who ran for state senate, which was a feat that was unheard of at the time. As her very own husband stated, women's names should only show up in the papers 3 times, at her birth, her marriage, and her death. So she pulled out of the race. They traveled the world, visited countries like Ireland, France, Russia, India, and Japan, but after 23 years of marriage, the Browns separated. He gave her a nice settlement, and she continued traveling. She was with some friends and her daughter in Paris one day when she received news about an ill grandson, and she had to cut her vacation short. She grabbed the first ride home available, and that, my friends, is how Molly Brown wound up on the Titanic. They said it couldn't sink. Well, there she was in her bed reading her book during the crash, and knocked her out of her bed and onto the floor. She went out in the hallway, and next thing she knew, she was being lowered down in lifeboat number 6. Being lowered down to the water with 21 other women, 2 men, and a 12-year-old boy. Her lifeboat was found by the Carpathia, and she was rescued. Realizing all the other women were headed to a country without their husbands, their children, clothes, money, and their valuables, she rallied the first-class passengers on the Carpathia to help less fortunate passengers. By the time she reached New York, she raised $10,000. She grew on to fight progressive causes, but ultimately is known as the unsinkable Molly Brown.
That is it, my friends, for April 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Sure to check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program on the comment board. For example,
what about that assassination? Other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Civil rights fans, Jackie Robinson taught us a big lesson about rising above bitter hatred unleashed upon somebody. What's your take on that? Titanic fans, is there any actress out there that did a better job of playing the part than Kathy Bates for Molly Brown? Sinatra fans, what's your favorite song? Let me hear it. It's all on the comment board. Now, moving on to tomorrow's program, talk about Civil War news, civil rights news, Old West news, and so much more. You can also catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So we'll see tomorrow, great friends. Thanks for being great patriotic Americans.